Thank you. Welcome. Welcome. I am Nancy Duncan. We're glad you're here. I want to thank the musicians, Michael Whitehead, Steve Lindsay, Jason Dean, Laura Adelberg. And this group will be playing Charlie's music today, and we are very, very glad that you folks are here with us. So thank you for making this a real celebration. Charlie would have wanted a party. Is that right? So I hope this service will be festive. And after the service, everyone is invited to the Waldo Theater Annex, which is on Glidden Street. And just follow the crowd or ask for directions, or look for the most gorgeous garden in town. And there's lots of good food there, and I think there'll be some more good music. And I'm aware that there's still people coming in. Do you want to play something really quick while people come in? We gather today from many, many places to remember Charlie Beckler. We gather together to laugh and to cry and to listen to Charlie's music. We come to comfort one another and to share our love with Audrey, Douglas, and Christopher and their families. We gather as people of many faiths and people with many, many different ways of expressing our spirituality and our faith. We come as members of this congregation. We come as visual artists. We come as musicians. We come as friends. And we come as people working to build a better and more just world. We are people who have been touched and changed by Charlie's gentle compassion and Charlie's creative spirit. We gather to sense the sacred in our midst and to find comfort in the spirit that runs through us in the arts, in the beauty around us, and in the love and compassion of one another. From Psalm 150, praise God. Praise God with trumpet sound. Praise God with lute and harp. Praise God with timbrel and dance. Praise God with strings and pipe. Praise God with sounding cymbals. Praise God with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise God. A reading from Walt Whitman from Song of Myself. A child said, "What is the grass? Fetching it to me with full hands." How could I answer the child? I do not know what it is any more than he. I guess it must be the flag of my disposition, out of hopeful green stuff woven. Or I guess it is the handkerchief of the Lord, a scented gift and remembrancer designedly dropped, bearing the owner's name some way in the corners, that we may see and remark and say, whose? Or I guess the grass is itself a child, the produced babe of the vegetation. Or I guess it is a uniform hieroglyphic, and it means sprouting alike in broad zones and narrow zones, growing among black folks as among white. Canuck, Tuckahoe, Congressman Cuff, I give them the same, I receive them the same. And now it seems to me the beautiful uncut hair of graves. Tenderly will I use your curling grass. It may be you transpire from the breasts of young men. It may be if I had known them, I would have loved them. It may be you are from old people or from offspring taken soon out of their mother's laps. And here you are, the mother's laps. This grass is very dark to be from the white heads of old mothers, darker than the colorless beards of old men. Dark to come from under the faint wood, the faint red roofs of mouths. Oh, I perceive after all so many uttering tongues, and I perceive they do not come from the roofs of mouths for nothing. I wish I could translate the hints about the dead young men and women, and the hints about old men and mothers, and the offspring taken soon out of their laps. What do you think has become of the young and the old men? And what do you think has become of the women and children? They are alive and well somewhere. The smallest sprout shows there really is no death. And if ever there was, it led forward life and does not wait at the end to arrest it. and cease the moment life appeared. All goes onward and outward. Nothing collapses. And to die is different from what anyone supposed, and luckier. The spotted hawk swoops by and accuses me. He complains of my gab and my loitering. I too am not a bit tamed. I too am untranslatable. I too sound my barbaric yelp over the roofs of the world. The last scud of day holds back for me. It flings my lightness after the rest, and true as any on the shadowed wilds, it coaxes me to the vapor and the dusk. I depart as air. I shake my white locks at the runaway sun. I effuse my flesh in eddies and drift it in lacy jags. I bequeath myself to the dirt to grow from the grass I love. If you want me again, look for me under your boot soles. You will hardly know who I am or what I mean, but I shall be good health to you nevertheless, and filter and fiber your blood. Failing to fetch me at first, keep encouraged. Missing me one place, search another. I stop somewhere, waiting for you. Walt Whitman, 1885. Charlie played the piano here for this congregation, right there, for 18 years. Quietly and kindly and over and over and over again, he surprised us with his choices of music that fit the occasion. So often, he completed or complimented the sermon. One day, a new member was stunned when, after a sermon on the covenant of the rainbow, he heard, "Somewhere over the rainbow." This man complimented me. He had it all wrong. This man had traveled to churches all over, big churches with great music directors, terrific music programs. But he had not encountered Charlie. He didn't know that we had come to take it for granted that on Easter morning we might hear about Easter bonnets and the Easter parade. Or when a newborn was brought to this church for the first time, we heard a tisket a tasket as the boy was carried in a basket. Charlie repeatedly surprised us and delighted us with music that brought smiles to our faces and tears to our eyes. Letter to my big brother, written by Cookie, Charlie's sister. Many people walk in and out of our lives. Only special people leave footprints in our hearts. You, my dear big brother, are one of those people. Thank you for being a special and important part of my life. Thank you for being compassionate and understanding. Thank you for always listening to me without judgment, for being gentle and loving, for your patience, care, and concern. Thank you for your God-given talents and beautiful music, for taking me fishing with you, for teaching me how to catch blue-toed crabs down at the Cape, for Saturday mornings with you and Susie, and for going to Gino's for Spucky sandwiches for us. Thank you for the best back rubs, for the yearly birthday calls. Thank you for your unconditional love. And thank you for letting your little sister hang around with you. I'll miss you very much, but I know you will always be with me and watching over all of us with love. Until we meet again, keep on making beautiful music in heaven. Charlie was a terrific brother, husband, and father. He gave his sons freedom and space to create, explore, and discover their own artistic gifts. Charlie and Audrey together were always present with their kids and encouraged their sons to follow their passions, whether it be to learn how to use power tools in the shop, to dig a well by hand, or to experiment with leftover firecrackers. Charlie was so proud of his family. Check out his website, you'll see. Of Charlie, Steve Cartwright wrote, "Life should be enjoyed as much as possible, and Charlie managed to do that on a tight budget. He took pleasure in small things. A cup of coffee at Fernald's 5 and 10 in the village, for example. Charlie believed in the value of community and fervently believed in peace, equality, and justice. He was greatly dismayed by the current national leadership that taxes the poor to wage war on behalf of the rich." And Virginia Slauson, a longtime neighbor, wrote, "Charlie, we met you some 22 years ago. We crossed the field curious to find out who bought the old cape across the way. When we met you and Audrey, I can remember the thoughts washing over me that day. Well, we lucked out. They're artists. They garden. They love the water. They speak our language. You and Audrey, Douglas and Christopher were caring, insightful, and thoughtful. Genuinely good and decent people. How many holiday meals we've shared over the years. Your eyes would light up as you savored a new taste, always with a look of merry anticipation of something good coming, and you would munch with a sort of swoon and hum of contentment, no words needed. You were the champion of the underdog, and you always knew without a doubt, that the little guy was being oppressed by the money-grubbing thugs all masquerading as someone from the government and here to help. You always brought out the positive and believed in life's potential despite the conspiracies. You, Charlie, did conspire with all of those around you to bring a positive, gentle, and good understanding of the world. Thank you." This next section was written by Audrey. Audrey wrote, "Charlie and I were two shy people that met on a blind date, fell in love with each other, and were together for 45 years. We were very much alike, gentle natures that accepted all of our good and not so good parts. We were there for each other at all times, and because we had great respect for each other's talents, we supported each other's accomplishments. Charlie is not like the typical out front musician people in general. He was quiet, sensitive, and shy. Not the traits one needs to go out and get jobs, meet people, and sell your work. Other musicians hired Charlie because he was a very good piano player and was easy to get along with. Charlie could have, and often did, work 7 days a week, afternoons and evenings, and in after-hour clubs. Before and after Berklee School of Music, prior to our marriage, Charlie played solo jazz piano both at Storyville and the Stables, the original jazz workshop where Herb Pomeroy's big band played Charlie's compositions. Through the years, Charlie played with the best of the best. He also had jobs in the combat zone, backing strippers. In the early days, Charlie owned a Hammond organ. Bass notes were played with the foot pedals. That organ went everywhere, Boston, Cape Cod, and all the way to Las Vegas. It was heavy, bulky, and not easy to move around. In between being hired by other musicians, Charlie had his own groups because he wanted to play his own compositions. The culmination came around 1968. Charlie and I bought a house, a momentous move, which took us to Newburyport, Massachusetts, 40 miles north of Boston. Charlie and alto saxophonist Charlie Marengo formed the group called Osmosis. This band was one of the early attempts at a style of music, which later was called jazz rock fusion. At its peak, the band played in Boston at the Hatch Shell, the Boston Tea Party opposite Miles Davis and his fusion band, the Boston Garden opposite the Ike and Tina Review, in New York City at the Village Vanguard, and the band cut an album on the RCA Victor label. Internal restlessness and not wanting to go on the road contributed to the termination of Osmosis. A few months after their record was released, they played their final gig at the Playboy Bunny pageant for the opening of the new Hugh Hefner Hotel in Chicago. He had a varied career, don't you think? For a time, Charlie served as the musical director for the Theater of Newburyport, incorporating his original music. He also composed music for a full-length film, Portraits, written and directed by John Kitchener, shot in Newburyport and aired on cable TV. We moved to Waldoboro, Maine, January 9th, 1984. I'll never forget the drive up here. I followed Charlie in the truck, piled high with boxes and our livestock, ducks, chickens, two cats, and two dogs. It was dark, it was cold, about 10 above, no heat, wrapped in a blanket with a dog trying to sleep on my lap. There was a street light on our driveway, and it was a beacon leading us to our new home. We settled into our new environment. Charlie put on the opening event at the newly renovated Waldo Theater. I remember all winter, Charlie learning to sequence music into the newly purchased computer. His plan was to have the musicians play with the computerized music. He definitely bit off more than he could chew. Being stubborn, he persisted. It got very complicated, and all I can say is thank God Charlie hired the best musicians he knew that could read his music, including his longtime friend, Dick Cash. Charlie was a great composer. I have been lucky to have heard him compose, lines being played over and over, chords changing until it came together for him. To listen to him do that always filled me with awe. He has written some of the most beautiful music I have ever heard. Charlie was a person of the mind. He was always thinking, many thoughts at once. Sometimes I would ask him something and he would respond 3 minutes later. He had a great capacity for learning about things that interested him. He was always theorizing, analyzing. His music was composed from knowledge and intuition. He wrote from the heart. Charlie had a difficult time expressing himself with words, but communicated beautifully with his music. Because Charlie was a person of the mind, he was not strongly attached to the physical world. He slept a lot, especially after the stroke. I think he spent more time in the non-physical realm, the place where we come from, our real home. We had a wonderful life together, both doing what we love to do. I think we planned to be together and come to Waldoboro long before we came to Earth. As Sumner said, we are angels with amnesia. We are angels with amnesia. I believe we are spiritual beings that wish to experience human form. Earth is the living school of matter, but the things we have to learn are not of matter. We are here to use energy to realize we create our reality. We project outward into the physical our inner thoughts and feelings. If the feelings are of hope, tolerance, understanding, kindness, and respect, then we will leave the earth a better place. Charlie did that. The next piece we will hear is one that Charlie wrote for Audrey. It is titled Audrey, and we will hear a CD. It is played by Charlie, Steve Grover, Jim Lydon, John Hunter, and Dave Dempsey. Thank you. We need a lot of Kleenex, don't we? Charlie is with us. We live in and with and around the divine. We are part of what is sacred. And God is always with us, whether we walk through pastures green, swim in calm waters, or grieve through the darkest of night. God is with us as we create works of beauty and love, whether we do that in the garden, with a paintbrush, or at the keyboard, or working for justice. God's Spirit is with us always. Let us pray. Loving and merciful God, Creator God, God of all creation, God who helps us to be the creative people you would have us be. Loving God, your creative spirit lived and breathed in Charlie. Teach us to create. Teach us to be kind and gentle and to keep on hoping and working for a better world. Teach us to delight in simple pleasures, live music, the blooming of spring, a cup of coffee, a conversation with friends, and tasty morsels. Fill us with your love and your light and your hope. Bring us close to you, that we may work for a world in which all are fed, in which art matters, and in which all people are honored for their creative talents. Be with each one here. Be with each one here in our time of grief. We ask especially that you be with Audrey, with Christopher and Diane, Courtney and Haley, Douglas and Christina, and Susie and Cookie. In silence, hear our prayer. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Blue and green.
Charlie is in God's hands. We know that. Charlie's there surrounded by angels, or is angels. Charlie's okay. But we, on the other hand, may we work and dream for justice and peace. May we create beautiful music and art together. May we forge good friendships. May we be creative people. May we love one another. And now, may the God of hope fill you with love and joy. Go in peace. Amen.
This last 10 minutes.